Okay.
I'd like to call to order the March 6, 2018 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. And first on our agenda is we need a motion to approve the safety resolution. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second
by Mr. Smith. And I think in light of all of the events that have happened recently, and just for the record, I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's not that long, but this was kind of crafted by Ohio School Boards Association and sent out and, you know, gave us the opportunity to look at it and make any adjustments that we thought necessary. But it's whereas school violence has become an epidemic in the United States of America, whereas the children and school employees of our nation deserve to attend school without fear of death or injury, and their families deserve to send them to school without the same fear, whereas there is a mutual responsibility of all citizens to address this problem, and the responsibility for preventing violent incidents cannot be relegated to school districts alone, whereas multiple studies have shown that the majority of Americans support action to eliminate violence in our schools, whereas school board members, administrators, employees, and community members should work together with lawmakers, legal counsel, law enforcement, and security experts to determine how best to ensure student safety in their district. Therefore, be it resolved that the Marysville Board of Education implores the President of the United States, the Governor of the State of Ohio, the United States Congress, and the Ohio General Assembly to prioritize the protection of students and school employees by enacting legislation with funding for the following: 1, enhance mental health services and substance abuse treatment so that all individuals, including children, have sufficient access to these services; 2, increased access to school safety measures, including but not limited to school resource officers, school safety infrastructure, and other security measures designed to protect students and staff from an active shooter on school grounds; 3, training for school employees and enhanced coordination with law enforcement agencies and first responders to ensure appropriate responses to incidents of violence in schools; and 4, preserving the balance between the right to own firearms and the protection of students and school employees from any act of violence. Any comments or discussion about this resolution?
I would point out that the 1, 2, 3, 4th whereas is, I think it says ES. Should that be an AS?
Yours is spelled differently than ours, Sue. I don't know why. Also, in ours, it says regulated instead of relegated.
Oh, okay. So I must have an updated.
So ours has some typos.
Oh, no. Okay. Yes. I printed mine off. This is probably my copy from the website. So in transposing, we thank you for pointing those out.
Whereas it's just spelled WERTAS.
Yes.
I got it.
Yep. Okay, yep.
Yes.
So, yes, we'll get those typos corrected on our official copy before we sign it. Thank you.
I would say that I'm just back from Columbus, from an OSBA legislative day, and this topic was one of many that was discussed. There seems to be, at this point, movement in our state legislature. There are two bills that I believe that's correct that deal with SROs, the school resource officer, providing some funds. The amount of funds that they can be used for is still very much in debate. Mm-hmm. The first step is the creation of the position of SRO. And so there is a bill that defines, and they've been working for about a year or so on this, and that's now picked up some momentum. So on that issue, we should see some legislative action, hopefully some money. There was also discussion today, and there's legislation that has been submitted some time ago providing mental health services. So that may be on the horizon. There may be some action, but there was clearly a feeling that some things need to happen. And so I think that this particular resolution at least targets a couple of things that are currently on the minds of legislators in Columbus. Items 3 and 4 likewise are part of that discussion. And the elected officials that I had conversations with today were not sure exactly where legislation might be submitted, but they felt that there would be something concerning at least the fourth issue, the balance between the right to own firearms and protection of students. But that that was clearly a topic of discussion today.
Okay. And I, you know, one of the reasons of even holding this special meeting was I do think because of the timing, and I know I just want to point out that with some of the issues that we had recently at Bunsell with some of those threats, you know, just the way that communications are handled with the families, I think is really, really good. And then, you know, Diana appreciated the fact that the buildings are going to be hosting coffees to just allow parents to come in and talk about any concerns. You know, I think it's important that our community feels like our district is doing everything we can, and that we've got great partnerships with our police and our sheriff and our mental health people as well. So,
yeah, and on that, Diane, would you, I know you sent out mm-hmm. a rather long letter on safety, but would you just quickly kind of highlight a few of the things that our district is currently doing? I apologize for not...
You're fine. If you remember a couple years ago, we instituted kind of that, I always call it the fishbowl effect when you walk into a building, so mm-hmm. you're stuck in between until you can get to the next point. So there's a buzzer mm-hmm. system to get in, which a video allows the secretary at that desk to see who's at the door. If they recognize the parent, quite often they'll buzz them in, or they'll ask you what you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it contains them in that fishbowl area, for lack of a better word, until they get buzzed into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sign-in procedures. A visitor is to leave their driver's license so we can account for who's in the building,
mm-hmm.
And get a visitor's pass. We always talk about the number one thing about safety is really it's not always a convenience. So
right.
sometimes when you need to run out to your car, there mm-hmm. might be a closer door that you'd like to prop open,
mm-hmm.
but you should really go out that designated entrance and come back, exit and entrance and come back in that same way. Mm-hmm. The propping doors quite often cause us issues, particularly at our larger buildings where
right.
students drive. So we have that visitor system. We have new safety protocol. Actually, just in December, we did a large-scale tabletop event with our local EMA, so and our emergency team. So those are some of the things we do. Still, the number one deterrent from behavior is engaging in conversations with your children and monitoring their social media. And when we know things, 100% of the time we've been able to resolve them and our plan works. It's when we're not notified about things that we're not able to do anything about them. So the number one message to parents, and I sat in on two coffees this morning, the high school and Mill Valley, and that conversation. The concerns with parents are different at each level, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the parents were like, well, how else would people get in? The idea of propping doors is kind of non-existent at the elementaries.
Right.
Because you don't have kids that are as independent.
Mm-hmm.
But their questions were around, what happens at a playground? You know, our
right.
kids go out to play.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about those emergency procedures, or Amy
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
So just continuing to be good neighbors, pay attention to things that look fishy, and letting someone know. We really have, a great success rate of cutting things off when we're notified.
Yeah. Along that line, in conversation today, I said that I felt like that the first line of defense was conversations and communication between the students and the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers oftentimes can pick up when there's an issue, when somebody's got a problem. that really the second line is communication between the school district and the parents, teachers and parents, so that, you know, parents feel like they can call a teacher if there's something going on at home. And I think the coffees speak to trying to build those relationships, maintain those relationships. And something else that I've kind of tied in was the fact that the educational approach of this district is individualized education, and that helps to enhance the ability of teachers and administrators to get to know the kids and know what their normal daily routines are and their normal daily behavior, so that they're better able to recognize when things are out of kilter.
Right.
With the kids. So I know that we list safety number one in our priorities. I know and feel very confident that we are doing all that we're able to do at this point reasonably to address the situations without creating additional anxiety or fear, particularly among the kids. And I know that we will continue, I feel confident we'll continue to try to enhance and improve what we do.
We also have a hotline that I think is important. You can get to it on our website, or I attached a phone number in that letter, and I can't remember the phone number. But we researched 100% of those referrals. So we investigate them, and then there's a mechanism in which we report back on that tool what the findings of the investigation were. So you do get an update on what happened as a result, you know, the matter was resolved, or we found there was nothing, or whatever. So
I got that phone number.
Oh, rattle it off.
The hotline number is 1-866-547-8362.
Yeah. So that's a good way for, you know, if a parent sees something alarming, and there's a tab on the website that they can hit, and it takes them to an online submission as well.
Okay. And that can be anonymous if you'd like.
I think it
just
I don't
is,
even
unless
think you can put your name on
okay.
it. It's been a while since I looked.
Okay.
I get the reports. I have to think about what it looks like.
Right.
So, but those are sent out to the building or whatever the appropriate issue. You know, if there's an issue on a bus that you see, or at a bus stop, or those kind of things. So, some other things that came out at the coffees this morning at the high school level were just maybe starting. We didn't have a great phrase for it, but a new cool club that could be like a school safety club where kids got service hours, kind of like the Leo Club. The sense was that things that may have seemed off the norm or maybe nerdy and other locations seemed to be cool here. Like it was cool to be in the band and show choir, and people didn't think that was the case everywhere. And so Leo Club, so the idea was maybe starting some kind of safety council with students and having students generate ideas for incentives for doing the right thing, or ways to recognize and ways they might just continue to promote a positive culture. One of the things we saw on social media was that since 17 deaths had occurred in Florida, students were turning that around to meeting 17 people that you haven't met before in your school, or doing something else symbolic of that. So Tom was pretty energized by those comments. He had already met with in the idea of walking out. I'm sure you've heard that. And we ask principals to engage with student leaders. We support student voice. We do not want to allow students to assemble outside, because there have been rumors that people will make examples of them as targets. So we want to help organize that in the building and support that student voice. So principals, and really it's going to be a middle school, high school type activity, are engaging in that. So that same kind of activity that allows student voice not to get political or take different sides, but just to remind us how important their voice is and to take a stand for the right things. Mm-hmm. So that's moving forward as well.
Great.
I think it's a strong resolution. I want to point out a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
The word prioritize and legislation with funding. Mm-hmm. Okay, it has to be prioritized because there's so many other things going on.
Right.
And the legislation, whatever it may be, if anything, needs to have funding. There has to be resources, or it doesn't actually do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the point about not relegating it, like, we're doing a lot. Parents are doing a lot. Students are doing a lot. Administrators, the schools, but we can't do it alone. That's what this third whereas is.
Mm-hmm.
This is directed at the legislature.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's the only thing that's going on. It's certainly not sufficient, but we need them to know that it's a priority for us, and we expect it to be a priority for them. I know kids, I have kids in the district, and it is a priority for them. They're thinking about it. They're living sometimes in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we need to come together as a society and address that and make it better. So I like the wording of this to help us communicate to them. We all need to make this a priority.
I was encouraged by the enhanced mental health services and substance abuse being the first item listed, because I think that mental health issues are maybe at the core of this whole thing. And it's not a district-wide, it's not just a statewide, you know, it's throughout the entire country that we need to focus on that issue.
All right, well, we have a roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And so we'll sign this, and I think OSBA suggests that we forward copies of this to our legislators as well. So we'll take care of all that. Okay, and then the next item on our agenda is media communications, and I think this item in part is on here as a result of the recent editorial that made a few comments in there that we felt were not accurate, and so they were talking about a recent medical emergency at the high school and made some comments that they hadn't heard from the school district, and so. And yesterday we had a meeting and had the high school principal here, and I guess I'll just kind of redirect some of those questions to Diane since Tom's not here, but there was a comment that a call had not been returned. And can you talk to us a little bit about what our information is as far as what happened with being contacted or not?
Yeah, according to our phone records, there was no voicemail left. Went on our phone system, when you call in, it generates a log in your email system to show that a phone call came in. We do see that a phone call came in, but there was no voicemail left and no handwritten message left, so there was no phone call returned because Tom did not know there was a phone call until he read the editorial.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then, because the editorial made some comment that you would not allow him to call back.
That's not true.
Right.
Again, Tom didn't know there was a phone call. There was never a phone call placed to the board office to ask about that communication.
Mm-hmm.
So really the first time we realized there was a problem, quite honestly, was the same Friday that the editorial was released.
Okay.
Tom happened to be in my office for something else, and I read it to him.
Okay. And I mean, in general, when there are, I guess kind of what's our protocol for sending out information in situations like that?
So in general, I guess in this case or at different times we've had disturbances at the high school. Those mm-hmm. are dealt with, and then an email is generated to families. Mm-hmm. Most often you are copied on those as well. Mm-hmm. In particular, this instance happened 2 days after the Parkland situation, and there was a high volume of emergency equipment at the high school. Mm-hmm. And so what started to evolve over social media was that there was a shooting, there was someone found with a gun mm-hmm. at the school. So I started to receive that information. I already knew about the situation. Tom had called and said, you know, I'll be back with you. We're dealing with the situation. Mm-hmm. I then called there, mm-hmm. talked to Vera, said, get the message to Tom that social media is kind of taking a different stance than what's actually happening. He generated a letter to parents explaining that there had been a medical emergency, mm-hmm. That students weren't in harm at that time, and sent that out immediately. And that's right. pretty standard. It may not have gone out just as quickly as that day did because social mm-hmm. media kind of took a different spin, but it's always by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And typically on those instances, we do not send that to the media. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be anything
like a diabetic type of
asthma
right.
attack, diabetic. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be a range of things, and we typically do not send those to the newspaper.
Okay.
And I mean, are there some issues related to privacy yeah. issues when you're
If we would give a description about the medical procedures and et cetera, yes, there are lots of issues with student privacy, FERPA, mm-hmm. as well as HIPAA mm-hmm. issues as well.
So if the paper would have called and left a message, then
Tom would have called back, mm-hmm. Probably had very limited information. They had received quite right. a bit of information from the police mm-hmm. department, mm-hmm. and I don't think there would have been anything. Matter of fact, I know there wouldn't have been anything in addition to what the police report had said.
Right. Okay.
As far as you know, did the newspaper call on the day of the editorial?
No.
I know you wrote a letter in response to it.
Yes.
And that was published. But I don't remember, does anybody have it handy, what they said in response to your letter?
They said that it was, because I had, my letter commented about how they're certainly entitled to their opinions mm-hmm. about events, but they shouldn't have direct attacks on the superintendent. Because one of the concerns was that there were opinions stated in there that were not backed up with
right.
facts. So their response was that it was not an attack on the superintendent, and that it was, and that they wanted to work with the schools, but that they'd had problems getting information from us in the past.
Right, but it
says the Journal Tribune's yes. editorial last Friday was not a personal attack on Superintendent Diane Mankins, but simply stated the schools did not respond to the newspaper's request for information about a drug overdose at the high school. The newspaper has had difficulties in obtaining some information from the schools in the past. The newspaper wants the schools to be a part of the solution and not label questions as attacks.
Right. And
we weren't labeling the question as an attack. It was more the opinions that were not based on fact.
One of the statements apparently was that either you told Tom not to call back, or right. you wouldn't allow him, almost like it was a policy. That's
right.
incorrect.
That is absolutely
And they
incorrect.
Have not retracted that, correct?
No.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And we asked about that, and it was, the explanation was basically it was their understanding that since Diane was in charge of the district, that if they didn't get a call back, it must have come from her.
That's ridiculous.
And so who was the person that supposedly called to begin with?
One of their reporters called, yeah.
Well,
and so they are going to be checking to see if that person felt like they had left a message, but the documentation that we have shows that there was no message left.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think Tom showed you that yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, right.
So, do you see my point? Why would anybody assume, because they were expecting a call back and they didn't get it, why would they assume that you told him not to call? That's
right.
That's defamatory.
Yes.
And it should be retracted.
One of the comments that was made was this was an opinion piece, and that was their opinion.
Well, then, so we can put an opinion piece in that we feel that professionalism is not obtained at the highest level in reporting in the city. And that's just our opinion.
In the meeting yesterday, I tried to make it clear that my point is not with the newspaper's ability to express opinion. I would point out that in the editorial, there was not a single question mark, so I'm not sure where, you know, we didn't respond to a question. There was, maybe they were thinking the phone call, but the editorial itself contained no questions. And I thought your response focused on the editorial. I thought that unlike the newspaper's position, that it was their opinion and that it was not a personal attack, that the language, the words that were used were very personal. I thought that it was an obvious attack on our superintendent. And I felt that there was a lack of substantive information. It was mere, and I will use the publisher's term, opinion, as to what Diane may or may not have done and what Tom's reaction was and so forth. And I thought the assumption, typically in my life, if I make a phone call and it's an important phone call, I need to get information from someone, and I fail to get a response within a reasonable length of time, I'll call again. I'll follow up.
Or you'll leave a message.
Yeah. I mean, even if I left a message before,
I'll call
and say, did you get my message? Did you receive my phone call?
Well, my opinion is kind of that it was a setup. And if they have an inept reporter that does not follow back up nor leave a message but just calls from an unknown number, then I guess they need to kind of, my opinion is, to, you know, research how they do business.
And we did talk about the importance of, and Diane, I think, kind of reiterated again that if they reach out for information and for whatever reason feel like they're not getting a response, that second line of defense is always the board office, whether it be Diane or Jonathan. They have Diane's cell phone number. So, you know, we reminded them that we're not trying to hide anything here. In the instance of what the newspaper reported as an overdose, it was not an opiate type overdose. So that was, I think, a little misleading. But that, I think part of that came from the police department, anyways, on the scanner or something. But
I think too that maybe we need to change our line of communication with them. That I would not feel comfortable talking with them. I would want everything in writing, whether it be by email, so they can't turn things around, misconstrue them. I mean, that's also a line of defense that we can take, that if they call, well, let's do this by email. So there's always a record.
Well, but there have been issues with emails getting lost.
For a while, they weren't receiving our emails. Chad said they were having email issues. And questioned why he hadn't got a response, and Kathy had responded, and he ended up finding, he did say it was kind of a second filter issue, and that it all had been
like in spam or trash or something. I mean, I think the voice to voice, and just I mean, I know everybody is on alert that, you know,
get a call. Well, I know if I was Diane, right. I would never feel comfortable talking to them without having it taped or something because of what they're doing to her. So, you know, I would say, I'm fine with the interview. Are you fine with me? Turn on my phone. Because I think the only way we're going to stop this is if we make sure that it's done and done properly so they cannot misconstrue any more of what's being said and what's being done.
Well, I wasn't at the meeting yesterday. Who was there?
I was
Dick and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom and I.
Yes.
Chad.
Right.
And
Bruce Daniels.
Bruce Daniel and Kevin and our attorney who was excused.
I it's hard for me to think that anybody could read that editorial and not take it as an attack, a smear. It's not an opinion. Okay, and I take it that you said that at the meeting mm-hmm. yesterday, so what was... What?
It was there. I said, it's a lofty assumption at best, was the phrase I used after mm-hmm. it had gone on some
right.
time.
Yeah.
We discussed
and
it for quite some time, you know, the fact that there was really nothing backing up that opinion.
Yeah, he said yeah. that it was his opinion.
I told him that when he was in high school, I know his English teacher would never have allowed him to state an opinion without fact to actually back it up. And so that was expressed.
Right. It's not an opinion whether Diane, the superintendent, told Tom not to respond. That's a matter of fact. That's not somebody's judgment or opinion or...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so that doesn't work. That is not...
To the publisher, his response was, that was my opinion. That's what right. I believe.
It was stated that it was not false, that it was a conclusion based on their understanding.
How did they come up with their understanding? Yeah, what yeah. led them to understand that route?
Because Tom didn't call back and I was Tom's boss, so I must have directed Tom not to call.
So one time, maybe a mistake,
mm-hmm.
two times, raises questions, three times is definitely a pattern. This mm-hmm. is over the third time that this type of
yes.
comment has been shared mm-hmm. in the media.
Right.
And we can't help but believe that it is a pattern of belief from the media.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the reasons why that decision to put in a letter to the editor in response to that and try and lay down some of the facts behind what, you know, what our school district is doing under the leadership of Superintendent Diane Mankins. And then also one of the reasons why we chose to call another meeting. And, you know, I think we continue to do the right thing as a district and hold ourselves accountable for doing the right thing. And if we make a mistake, then we're certainly going to try, we're going to own up to it, mm-hmm. and we're going to try and correct it. And I guess in my mind, that's all we can control. We really can't control what ends up in the paper. And so another reason for having this meeting is to document some of our concerns and comments for the record. And, you know, I think that's really what the best thing that we can do.
Why was our attorney released from the meeting?
Because they didn't have any... You know, it was not mentioned up front that he was going to be there because that was kind of a, you know, kind of ended up he was going to be in the area.
And that
so
says it all to me
so
right there.
Yeah.
That says it all to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say the publisher asked him to leave. He mm-hmm. said he would
right.
not meet
right.
with
right.
us.
That says
without.
It right there.
Right.
So mm-hmm.
I would also like for it to be on the record that I think this particular situation in opposition to the editorial was handled very professionally. I think the people that needed information, the parents and the students, were provided that information in a very timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the fact that our superintendent followed up visiting the hospital and making sure that the student was all right, conversations with the parents, I also think, took place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said you met them there at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
And talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that speaks volumes, and I think it's very consistent. And we had an accident with a bus. We had some kids that were injured.
Mm-hmm.
We had administrators that went to the hospital with them. We had others that accompanied the students back home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether it was a superintendent or somebody else made arrangements for medical staff to be here, to be able to talk to the remaining students when they got home, to check and see if they had felt anything on the, you know, on the
right.
back,
mm-hmm.
Kind of the delayed reaction to that kind of thing. So I think that what I see in this particular situation is consistent with the high standards and the commitment to the students and the parents in our community. And I would never want our superintendent, I would never want a building principal to feel like that they were responsible for providing a newspaper article, information to the newspaper in advance of making sure that all of their responsibilities to the students and the families, the building staff and so forth were always met first. I think it's been pointed out that this, while it was a serious issue for this one young lady, and certainly, you know, there was emergency equipment there, and that needed, you know, an explanation to people needed
mm-hmm.
to be provided. That, although you don't like to have it happen, it does happen
right.
from time to time. It's not terribly frequent. But I don't think this particular situation rose to a crisis, building crisis or district crisis level.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud our superintendent. I applaud the staff and our principal for their appropriate handling.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to remind everyone, too, that we are talking about a student.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
For whatever reason, you know, we don't want to lose sight of that and being protective of that and that family.
Right.
You know,
right.
Without saying too much, I just think that every case like that is dependent, and we're not going to be ones releasing personal medical
no. Right,
you know, whatever any kind of issue might be about students,
mm-hmm. and right. you know,
because
and
they
I guess,
still have to attend school every day.
And I think right. you know, one of the comments made was because on the police scanner the word overdose was used, that you know, immediately people think about opiates, and to that, you know, I guess my thought was, it's really up to the newspaper to get the accurate information. You know, in the heat of a moment, the EMTs may say one thing, but
mm-hmm.
you know, the reality was it was a medical emergency. It was not a opiate drug overdose, and you know, I think that was one of the arguments that you know, the school should have been more proactive about letting the paper know because of that. Well, it wasn't that crisis, and we didn't know that that's what the scanner had said.
Yeah, we don't,
and, you know,
aren't
yeah.
privy to that. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so again, that's not really our job. We, just like Mr. Smith stated, you know, I mean, we have a protocol, and it was followed, and the right people were notified, and so I too, commend everybody in how those kinds of situations, how every situation has been handled. So.
And thank you, Diane, for reminding us all of the obvious that we are
yes.
dealing with students, right?
Yes.
Young people.
Right.
And families. which can be destroyed in a heartbeat with that kind of information
that's
out there for that child.
Right.
But we know how the rumor mill started on social media. It wasn't even in the ballpark of what was happening, so
right.
We can only imagine different situations. So.
Yep.
So what was the conclusion of it? What was the end result?
I can tell you what I said. I asked for Kevin to at least give me a shot. That more than once I've asked the same thing. That had he given me the opportunity of a phone call that week, I felt like he could have still probably prepared the same editorial around his belief system about an overdose, but it wouldn't have included the other part. And that I'm not perfect, and I will admit my mistakes, but I would ask him to give me a shot. Right. And in these circumstances, he doesn't do that. Right. That, in my opinion, when things are written like that, he is looking to cause a divide, and it is divisive. And I'm not interested in going down that path. I never have been, and I'm certainly not now. Mm-hmm. And that I would hope he'd give me a chance. That was my
professionalism.
Right.
That was my conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we don't have to agree on everything, but we need to respect each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what was his response?
We'll see. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not sure if there's going, you know, I mean, we're hopeful that there will be, you know, if there's opinions that they'll be backed by facts. And, you know, we talked about the point that there are some, you know, there's some an editorial plan in the future talking about the levy, and it may not line up with you know, what we're going to, you know, with what our levy committee is talking about. And so, like, hey, it's okay if we have different opinions, but let's focus on the facts. And not
and focus
target
on the kids and focus
or attack
on the schools and not
right.
make it a personal issue.
Exactly. Right.
There was no kumbaya moment at the end of the meeting.
But I appreciate everybody's conversation, and I know it's a big concern.
Comment.
Yeah. But we have it on the record, our concerns, what our plans are, what our protocol has been, has always been, and will continue to be.
Right. And I will tell you, I did bring up Spider-Man. In the Spider-Man movie, that with great power, there is great responsibility.
Yes.
I think that comes from other places besides Spider-Man.
That's your homework, Brian, for next meeting. You can tell us.
That was the end of the first Spider-Man movies.
Okay. Any other comments?
I just want to reiterate that I think we are all in administration and on the board committed to communication.
Yes.
We are.
With the newspaper, with the community.
Right.
And we all recognize that people make mistakes, and I think our goal is to admit them and learn from them and grow. But the commitment to communication is not in question.
No, and I think the commitment
truthful communication.
Right.
Yes.
That was
truthful and
right.
appropriate
right.
when there are restrictions
right.
like in
and
a
that doesn't
privacy
mean,
case.
And that doesn't mean just compliments. You know, we are
right.
open to criticism. We are open to questions. And we don't look at that as a threat. We look at those as opportunities.
And again, professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where do you bring this from a professional level to a personal level when there's kids and everything else involved here, and that's it's just totally unacceptable.
Okay. All right, so let's see. What's today? March 6th. Our next, just a reminder, our regular monthly meeting is March 22nd.
Okay.
We have a community coffee this Saturday, and Dick and I will be covering that community coffee at Fifth Street Cafe at from
9 to 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We didn't change it to 10 to 11.
We went back to 9 to 10.
Okay.
We tried 10 to 11 to see if that would expand attendance.
Okay. Right.
But 9 to 10 seems
nine
to 10. Work.
Okay. Good.
I would say if anybody wants to hang around, I'll run through what I talked about today in performance.
Only two, right?
Okay.
Okay. Well, a motion for adjournment then?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And